Supervisors, please take your seats. All right, if you are here, please check in on the computer. Bill, you got to log in. Oh, okay. Got everybody? I have not heard. All right, we have 32 board members present. That is a quorum, so I will call the meeting to order. And what I want to start out with is remembrance of a former colleague of ours, Joanne Sharp, if you may have noticed, passed away earlier this week. She was on the county board for a couple terms a little while ago. And I think most people would agree that she was one of the nicest people around. She was always pleasant, just a joy to have on committees and to have on the board. Went by the name Joe Mama, was always a fun person to have around, never disagreeable, unlike some people, who will remain unnamed. But it would be appropriate for us, I said they will be unnamed, Mr. Ebert. I think it would be appropriate for us to begin tonight's meeting with a moment of silence, so if you'd please rise for that on behalf of Joanne Sharp. And let's continue with the Pledge of Allegiance. You can either face this flag or the one on Mr. Bregman's shirt.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we have a bunch of announcements here tonight. First of all, County Board Picnic Update. Arlene and Jerry, what do you got to tell us?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. Most things are pretty much completed now. We've used all the experience we learned from the county board on how to be frugal. We bought nothing without, it wasn't on sale or without a coupon.
Right.
Our menu is going to be, this year is going to be an 8-ounce hamburger steak, smothered in mushrooms, all juice, and if you don't like mushrooms, we have cheese, either cheddar or Swiss you could put on that. We have baked beans, coleslaw, pasta salad and potato salad, a relish tray with dip, rolls and butters. Desserts are brownies, pumpkin bars, lemonars, and a variety of other funeral food. Corn on the cob or cobettes, watermelon balls with fruit cocktail over top, vegetarian meals, deviled eggs, peanuts for snacks before, and we have about six different varieties of pop. Each one will be in its own container marked on top so you don't have to search for anything. We'll have milk with the meal and coffee. And as tradition has it, normally the county board chair furnishes the adult beverage. I assume that tradition will be carried on.
I believe it will.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that concludes my report, except that the price is pretty reasonable this year. All this for $10 per person.
And you can pay Arlene Benrood.
All right. And in the interest of cash flow, if you would do that tonight, that would be very helpful. So she'll be happy to take your money after the meeting, those who haven't already paid her. Write out the check to Arlene if you're doing it by check. We trust her. All right. So that's the County Board picnic update, and as has been the tradition the last few years, it will be at Lake Neshonoc Park. Jeff Schrader.
I wanted to know what the cost would be if the chair wasn't providing the beer.
Probably about $50 a person. And Jeff, can you get us some apples? Never mind. We're not going there.
For you, I will make them into a pie.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. All right. Here is your absolute positive last reminder if you want to go to WCA for the regular price, because the deadline is coming up and you need, in fact, tomorrow is the deadline for registration at 5 p.m. If you have not signed up to go to WCA, you need to contact Margaret in the chair's office by 5 p.m. tomorrow to let her know that you're interested in going. If you decide after that to go, there's a late fee, which is your fee, but to get the regular price, we need to know by 5 p.m. tomorrow. Maureen Friedland.
Is there a hotel in particular that we're using, that we're booking at, do you know?
There are several that are available. Somebody told me that Margaret was putting people at the Ramada. I don't know if I hadn't heard anything about it. I have to teach that day, so I'm not able to go this year. But typically we all end up in the same hotel. Jerry, do you have anything to add on that? Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The hotels are available are Doubletree. That's the old Holiday Inn right across from the Hilton in the back. The rates there are $134. The Hilton, I do not recommend going there unless you got a lot of money. There are no amenities. You have to pay for everything yourself. They won't let you even get a cart to haul your own luggage in. The Hyatt, and I would recommend, I don't know at this point if there's any vacancy there. And there's also those rooms there are $1.39. Most of them are. And the Ramada Inn, those are $84. I think
and if you go to
might
any,
be all that's left.
Yeah, and if you go to any but the cheapest one, you pay the difference under our county board policy. We're in frugal times here. Arlene Benrud.
Yes. Hello. I went to the train station, or I should say Jerry and I went to the train station and got our tickets, and we would be leaving on Sunday and coming back on Tuesday. We got round trip for $72, and that is one block or two blocks at the most to any hotel. So it's something people should consider. We did that last year, and it's quite a saving. $72 is very inexpensive for down and back, and you leave like 11 o'clock on Sunday. You get there for their 2 or 3 o'clock meeting, and it adjourns on Tuesday before noon, and their train leaves to go back at about 3 or 3:30. So if anyone's interested, call the depot or stop in the depot. Thank you.
And I've heard stories about the La Crosse County trip to WCA in the past, and so I would encourage people to give that consideration. I understand it was a very good time.
Thank you.
All right. So, again, tomorrow 5 p.m. If you've noticed any of the staff people in the last couple of months with their ID badges, you'll notice that they're different than what you have. We're switching over, and everybody needs to get a new one. And your options on doing that would be to do it either before or after your committee meetings during August, or since the county board meeting is during the day for August, you can come before county board meeting or after county board meeting. Do we go to the personnel office? Okay. All right, so go to the personnel office. I'll take your picture and take care of a new badge for you. So before or after your committee meetings, of course, if you have a night meeting like Health and Human Services, that won't work. But other than that, your committee meeting or county board day in August. If none of those for some reason work for you, then call the personnel department and set up a special time. But we do need to get those switched over. All right, supervisor conference reports. Who's got one? Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. It's not exactly a conference report. I missed a couple of county board meetings, and I was gallivanting all around Europe. But I just wanted you to know I wasn't just having fun. So I've given Linda some pictures to put up there. because everywhere I went, I looked for the effects of government in terms of public safety or sustainability. So this is at the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland. This is their idea of telling you not to jump. So this is a public safety announcement.
We should put one of those up by the county administrator's office.
Or on Granddad Bluff. Okay, next. Don't fall off the cliff. They don't waste a lot of time in Ireland. They just, you know, here's a cliff, here's you, don't go. And this is on the ferry. Please mind your head. Isn't that cute? And this is in London. This is a fitness park in the middle of London. And those are some pieces of equipment that you can use. And they're open to the public, very durable. And the next one shows a couple more. And now we're waiting. Oh, yeah, in Ireland they do recycle, but sometimes they end up on the beach. Oh, and this is another public safety one. This was on top of a cliff where we were hiking, and it said no hiking. And this is a parking lot that's one of those Swedish-type sustainable parking lots, so I thought that was pretty cool. Oh, and they use local resources. This is charcoal briquettes made out of peat. So they cut the peat and compress it and use that for fires. Well, actually, peat is what you call an Irishman who's been dead for 10,000 years. And this is in the middle of nowhere on an island, an entire recycling station, which I thought was a little odd, but, you know, good effort. And then in Paris, they have bought 15,000 bikes and put them all over town, and you put a euro coin in there or your credit card, and you can hire a bike for just a few cents a day. You can keep it for as long as you want. It's just like you have your own bike, and they're all over town. So there's a slot there where you can put your card or a coin in. And then this is the county dump in Ireland. And I just thought that was just an ironic picture of solid waste, you know, on the sign that says no dumping, there is garbage. That's it. Thanks.
If you think that because you gave this report I'm authorizing reimbursement for your trip, ain't going to happen. Nice try, though. Any other reports, Mr. Bean? Do you want to place exciting like this?
No, I don't have anything that exciting, but I spent most of the day working at the fairgrounds. I just wanted to remind you the fair is on. The animals are there. The stock is there. The kids are there. And you can have a good time. It was came to an abrupt end last night, as I understand. I wasn't there, but the rain cut it off about 9:30, and it was bad. So it's going to be good the rest of the week. No parking fees or entry fees, so go out to the fair and have a good time.
Thank you. Good point. Arlene Benrood.
I attended a conference for ITBEC at Lac des Flambeaux. We went up by bus. Dave Domke, WCA Field Service Representative, said we need to use the resources we have. The Wisconsin Way updated vision, not good. We have serious challenges. Demographics, workforce, tax structure, property tax burden, transportation, segregated funds. Also, each one of the ITBECs, North Central, Southwest, East Central, Northwest, gave a presentation on what they had done this past year. And for Southwest, Jim Ursham gave a report on that. Next conference is September 15th, 16th in Fort Frances, Ontario. This is a trade conference with Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Canada. This also is no cost to La Crosse County. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you. I also attended that conference. It was held this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. We had 12 members from our Southwest ITBEC in attendance. Some of the speakers were Myron Schuster, Executive Director of the Northwest Regional Planning Commission, which was formed in 1959, 51 years ago. Greg Smith, the Managing Director for Discover Media Works, gave his talk on Discover Wisconsin Marketing Opportunities, and they've been on the air for 23 years. Terry Whipple, Executive Director, Juneau County Economic Development, spoke on economic development opportunities for rural counties. Jeff Gillen, Executive Director of Rainy Days Development Corporation, spoke on Northern Networks Conference. As Arlene stated, that will be held in Canada this year, and that's comprised of economic groups from Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Canada, which we're a part of that. Mark O'Connell, the Executive Director of Wisconsin Counties Association, was our featured speaker, and he spoke about his main theme was on vision, which is not good. And I have a few comments on that. We have serious challenges in demographics, workforce, the educational level, infrastructure, the property tax burden, and the tax structure itself. Raising taxes to meet our needs is not a solution. It's just a tax modification. Citizens expect government, that's us, to perform and to solve problems. Today, not tomorrow, we need $190,000 per person, that's every man, woman, and child, to even the deficit of $60 trillion owed today, and that gets higher every day. Future shock is happening right now. Wisconsin Way does not have all the answers. It's just an attempt to solve these problems we face today. The old ways do not work anymore. We need to find new ways. We need new ideas. We have to increase our income and lower our lifestyle. That's not just an idea. That's a fact. Bill Johnson from Flambeau Paper gave us an update on the Park Falls Paper Mill project. They are building a paper mill on the Flambeau River to produce diesel fuel from wood to run their plant. The paper mill will run solely on renewable biomass energy. Now there's an idea that is becoming a reality right now. The meeting concluded with the four Wisconsin regional ITBECs giving a report on what they are working on now and what they will be working on in the future. There was no cost to La Crosse County, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Sobranek. Maureen Friedland, did I see your hand?
Yes, thanks. I attended the Wisconsin Counties Association seminar on health care reform and the effect on local government. There weren't too many answers provided because the regulations to the Affordable Health Care Act are still being written, but a couple of highlights that I thought might be interesting. First, there'll be large financial incentives to create model projects that reduce health care costs, specifically keeping people out of nursing homes in favor of their own homes or in the community. And this is the type of innovation that La Crosse has been known for, so I think that will benefit in that way. Also, disease prevention will be stressed with grant money for programs that promote individual, employee, and community health, such as obesity, tobacco use, mental illness. So the program that we have in our packet tonight might be one of those types of disease prevention programs. But the most important effect of the new Health Care Act is likely to be on how it relates to negotiations with county employees. Employers are faced with rising financial obligations, and the advice is to develop plans where the employees become consumers who are knowledgeable of costs and are also very cost conscious because there's an economic impact on them also. And getting employee participation in the planning will be important. A dollar spent on health care, as important and as critical as it is a dollar that can't be spent on other priorities.
Thank you, Ms. Friedland. Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This isn't really a conference report, so it's more like a personal privilege. But last, when we were speaking about the economic development and kind of the history, I should have spoken up because I know when I first came on the board in I joined the Economic Development Committee, and Supervisor Cotto was the chair, and I think she did a great deal with that previous committee and setting some goals and pushing for an economic development specialist that we really didn't mention in the discussion, and I think that I was remiss in not mentioning it at the time. So, thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else? Any other reports? All right. With us tonight, we have Grace Sear from Cooley Cap. She's going to give the annual Cooley Cap report. What did I say, Sear? Sorry.
No,
I've been around too long, Grace.
I just celebrated my 5th anniversary, and I'm still doing it myself. So good evening, everybody, and thank you for a few minutes to talk about Cooley Cap's 2009 annual report. And I think you might have in your materials a little booklet that looks like this. This is our last annual report, and a one-page insert that talks about what we did in La Crosse County last year. And since you have that, I'm not going to go over that. I have a few other updates I would like to give you briefly. Cooley Cap serves 4 counties, La Crosse, Monroe, Vernon, and Crawford. And in 2009, we served 16,174 families, or about 40,000 people. A couple of years ago, I would have been saying 25,000 people. So the fact that the demand for our services has gone up that radically is just another indication of a struggling economy. We raise all of our funding each year. We employ 79 people now. We've created 20 new jobs with benefits through stimulus funding. Our budget last year was $8.5 million. 2.9 of that were directly for services in La Crosse. We also had 78,791 hours of volunteer labor provided to us by volunteers in the community. I want to thank the board members, Jill Billings, for serving on our board, and Ann Fisher. They were wonderful, and I want to thank the chairman for appointing Maureen Friedland and Monica Cruz to the board. They're wonderful new board members already. Updates, I was elected chairperson of the Family Policy Board recently, and so I'll be interacting with some of the county board members as we work on human service issues, and I'm very happy about that. Moving on to another update, in 2009, we started our Cooley Community Land Trust, and our first home went into the land trust. It was a house we built in Onalaska, and then we hope by the end of this year to have up to 15 homes in the land trust. This creates permanently affordable home ownership opportunities in our community, permanently affordable to families at 80% of county median income. That basically means a family of 4, for example, could make up to $50,800 and still be eligible for a land trust home. Another new project we have is our Neighborhood Stabilization Program, or NSP, and this was in the paper recently. We're going to be this is a program where when a home has already been foreclosed upon, we're able to go in, purchase that home, either demolish it and build a new home, or do a real gut rehab to bring that home up to neighborhood standards or better. So we currently have 4 gut rehabs going on, 3 demolition and new buildings going up, and 3 more pending, for a total of 10. And if anybody wants more information, I have the addresses of where all those properties are. And then finally, we're involved in La Crosse County with a new construction project. This is in Rockland. I imagine some of you have heard of this before. It's workforce housing, where we have a partnership between Cooley Cap, Quality Hardwoods that's expanding, the Village of Rockland, and the county. There are 55 lots available. Cooley Cap is hoping to pick up 16 of them. In our phase one, we would build 3 3-bedroom homes and 1 4-bedroom homes. And we're still raising funds for this, so it's not happening quite yet. But we had this picture, and I just thought I'd drag it along, and I just half-wrecked it in my car. But this would be an example of one of the 3-bedroom homes. We would be attempting to do this so that it would be sold for about $80,000. And then the 4-bedroom homes would go for $90,000. And so it's a really workforce housing, but I just wanted to share that I think it'll be real nice. Hopefully we'll get that funding raised so we can do it. That concludes my report, unless you have anything.
Jeff Schrader's got a question.
Very nice report.
Thank you.
Did you say you had going or planning on having 15 homes in a year? You're going to build that many?
We have homes going in other counties as well, and so our goal is by the end of 2010 to have 15 homes in the land trust. Yes.
These are all new built homes or ones you've refurbished or which one?
Some are newly built, and then some are homes that we're selling and so buying, gut rehabbing, and then selling and having in that process have them go into the land trust so they're permanently affordable as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. Just checking, these will have to be owner-occupied or will they be available for rent?
In Rockland?
Any of them.
Some of the housing were... Okay, just in La Crosse County?
Yeah.
I believe the four buildings that I'm talking about in Phase 1 of Rockland are home ownership opportunities, and all of those NSP homes were home ownership opportunities as well. But we're also looking at rental development, too, here and there, maybe in Rockland, too. Mm-hmm. So we're not limited to home ownership or rental. We're willing to do both, and it just needs to be affordable.
Yeah, I understand that. The concern in relation to rental-type housing is to have something written into the leases as to responsible maintenance of the properties, especially outside, you know, outside maintenance, so as they don't drag a neighborhood down.
Sure. Okay.
Perhaps you can incorporate something of that nature into the leases. A yard maintenance or whatever.
Yes. I believe that's in the properties we currently own, rental properties. That's taken care of, so if there's something going on I don't know about, please let me know, Audrey.
Well, I'm talking more as a generality than
okay. Specifically
in relation to yours, that in some areas of La Crosse, the rental properties are, there's little monitoring, and many of them are privately owned rentals too.
Okay.
But sooner or later, we have to get to break in on that problem, because it is a real problem.
Okay.
When they are deteriorating and littered and bicycles thrown around and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you. Very nice report. And
thank you.
My question, you said the 20 jobs were created with stimulus funds. What happens when that stimulus money runs out?
All of these, it's actually probably up to 30 now, and some of them are part-time, though. All of those employees were hired with the understanding that these were not permanent jobs. They're regular employees, but they're not permanent. Our hope, though, is we believe the weatherization program will expand and continue to expand, and so our hope is that we'll be able to keep some of those folks. And we have some people approaching retirement, so there'll be some attrition we can take advantage of. But, yes, we will probably have some layoffs once that funding scales back, and hopefully the economy will have recovered enough that the private sector can pick them up.
Any other questions? All right, Grace, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very interesting report. All right, now we have the Skipper Liner update, and because of the nature of what we're going to be talking about, I believe it's appropriate to go into closed session, and we are noticed for closed session, so is there a motion in that regard? By Don Meyer, seconded by Jeff Schrader, to go into closed session as noted on the agenda, which is pursuant to Wisconsin State Statute Section 19.85. We are back in open session, and for the information of the media and the public, we discussed the item that was listed and only the item that was listed with regard to Skipper Liner Industries. There were no votes taken during closed session. Deputy Administrator Report, Gary Ingleson.
I want to point out to the county board that the issue that we had with the July 4th holiday conflicting with our regular planning committee meeting, we're going to have that same issue with the Labor Day date. Labor Day is that Monday in September when we would normally have our planning committee. So I don't know if you want to talk about some dates tonight, but in addition to that, Public Works and any other committees that are affected should also pick an alternate date in the near future.
One option would be to simply move county board planning from our policy planning from Monday the 6th to Monday the 13th. So we'd have two county board meetings in 1 week, county board policy planning on Monday, county board regular meeting on Thursday. What do people think of that option? Anybody have any strong objection to it? Jeff, is that a strong objection or a question?
It's a question. How big of an agenda are you anticipating for the planning meeting? Could we have them both the same night?
No. You should pretty much resign yourself to, from now until budget, that you're going to be getting a lot of information. We've got, in addition to budget stuff, Steve and I talked before he went on his habitat ride about how many items we have lined up right now for policy planning topics. There's a lot of stuff, so I would expect from now until November, we're going to have at least 2-hour policy planning meetings every month, in addition to our regular stuff. Okay, well, not hearing any strong objection, we'll do policy planning then on the 13th, regular county board on the 16th, and I would ask the various committees to have that as a discussion topic for when you're going to do yours, if you're affected by it. That would just be the Monday committee meetings. All right. Anything else for you, Gary? Cards and correspondence are over on the bulletin board. There's also one that I want to mention here. WCA is having an educational seminar called Parliamentary Procedure in Focus. They're doing that Monday, August 23rd from 10 to 3. It says 10 a.m. to 3 a.m. That'd be a heck of an interesting parliamentary procedure session. I assume it's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that's at the Holiday Inn in Stevens Point. If you're interested, I'll have this up here. My office can get you registered for that. And that gets us up to appointments. Thank you.
Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. I just have one, which is to reappoint Mark Schultz to the Joint Board of Harbor Commissioners for a three-year term.
Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Meyer. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The appointment carries unanimously.
Thank you. Consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve by Roger Plesha, second by Jerry Sobranek? Any comments or questions on the consent agenda? Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. And I think my questions are for Mr. Blesky. If he...
Jeff, can you come in? You just turned it off, actually. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, thanks. Jeff, this is from your business meeting, and you were talking about the ad hoc assessment reform, and it says in here you stated that reform will happen. What did you mean by that?
I happen to be a representative on one of the state committees that's taken a look at what used to be called countywide assessing. They're calling it assessment reform now. And we actually have a meeting that was supposed to be today, but too many people couldn't make it, so it's going to be on the 22nd. And then the last meeting is going to be, I think, November 15th. The Department of Revenue is pushing this assessment reform really hard. Something has to end up happening. And I'm predicting that it will. What shape it ends up taking, I really don't know. But there's a lot of things in place that the Department of Revenue, the Department of Manufacturing Assessment have been working on for 5 years to get to this point. So there's going to be a lot of things that are going to end up happening anyway. So it's just a matter of what it's going to end up looking like when it's done.
So there'd just be some changes. This isn't going to be the reception that they got here when they were here wasn't real warm. And I don't know how much political backing they have to have, or maybe none, something through.
Okay. In the resolution that's coming up later on for action, There's a point in there that's going to talk about assessor certification, schooling, things like that, that will have to end up being studied at some point. But
and Jeff, I think on that note, let's hold that off till that resolution, because the consent agenda is really, do you agree with what was in the packet or not?
Okay.
You might, I can't question.
And I wanted to say that before John Menninger had a chance to jump in, because I could see he was about to tell me that.
Okay. We're going too far. All right.
So anything else on the consent agenda?
Yes, sir.
Any other comments or questions? Jeff Schrader.
Same committee. There's a resolution supporting the State of Wisconsin's Office of Independence 2025 vision. And I was just wondering how that would possibly affect our...
It's not on the agenda.
But again, Mr. Schrader, all that the consent agenda motion is to approve the consent agenda, meaning that the minutes are correct and things like that. It's not really...
If that's true, then I'm going to ask them why that is true. Well,
yeah, and actually the board minutes only are what we're really approving as part of the consent agenda. Thank you, Jenny. I don't want to cut you off. It's just that those things are not on the agenda. We really can't get into that. But you should feel welcome to ask Jeff when we're done with the meeting tonight. Anything else for consent agenda? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. All right, Planning, Resource, and Development, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have item 7-6, conditional use permit number 812, filed by Ernest M. and Joan M. Paget to operate a contractor's business along with the storage of utility trailers and park a motor coach bus on occasions for cleaning and repairs on 0.7 acres of land that is zoned agricultural District A and residential District A in the town of Campbell. This was approved by the... Want to put it on the floor? Or this yeah. Put it on the floor?
Yes. Move whatever your
so
committee
So I'll move for your approval on this.
The committee approved that?
Yes.
Any conditions on the conditional use permit?
Yes. The committee approved it with 8 conditions, and they're outlined on your blue sheet.
Motion is to approve subject to those 8 conditions, which is a committee report, seconded by Dennis Monti. Any questions or discussion on that? If not, all in favor of approving the committee report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
No.
Wait, no was Jill Billings. Any other no's? Okay. That passes.
Item 7-7, zoning permit number 1844, filed by Nathan and Andrea Tucker on behalf of Philip A. Farmington to rezone exclusive agriculture district to agriculture district A in the town of Burns. It was approved unanimous, and I request your approval.
Move by Mr. Meyer to approve the committee report, which was to approve the request, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
All right, item 7-8, conditional use permit 813, filed by Sheldon E. Everson to operate a dumpster roll-off business operating with 2 trucks and 20 to 24 dumpsters, signage, and 4 employees and vehicles at his residence at 2.76 acres of land zoned Agricultural District A in the town of Farmington. The committee had six pages of testimony in our minutes of this, and I think one of the conclusions was that we did not want to drive away business from the county, but we tried to give these people some ideas on what they could do, and so the whole deal went down to they'll withdraw their application at this point, and that was voted on and unanimously by the committee. So I move for your approval to
Well,
back.
Wait. You said they withdrew it, so I assume it should just come off the... I assume it should come off the agenda then. Yeah, I don't think we need to vote on it. It's if they withdrew it, we don't need to do anything.
They withdrew it.
Okay.
So it was quite a discussion, and I really think that a lot of people on the zoning committee helped them a lot, because they came in with some preconceived ideas, and I think that all got straightened out.
Good. All right, next item.
7-9, conditional use permit number 814, filed by Joan Berg, president of Western Cooley Kayaks Incorporated, on behalf of Richard and Mary Stormont to operate a kayak canoe construction business on part of 40-acre parcel on the land zoned exclusively agriculture District A in the town of Hamilton. This was approved with 9 conditions. I move for your approval.
Mr. Mayor moves the committee report, which is approval subject to 9 conditions. Second by Mr. Bina. Any discussion or questions on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 7-10, zoning permit number 1846, filed by Mary Shield on behalf of Four Looms LLC to rezone from Commercial District B with conditions for residential condominiums to Commercial District B with no conditions in the town of Madary. Now that may sound a little strange, but they just erased the conditions that they originally had on that plot, and we all agreed, and it was approved 6-0 and 1 abstained. So I move for your approval.
Mr. Mayor moves the committee report, which is to approve, seconded by Andrea Richmond. Oh, she has a question. Seconded by Don Bina. Andrea, have you a question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. And maybe Mr. Handy can answer that. Commercial B, would they be allowed, if the residential condominiums didn't go in there, would they be able to put with Commercial B any storage units?
Did you hear the question? Jeff Blusky is going to answer. You may confuse him with Charlie Handy, but he's not Charlie Handy.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
As a matter of fact, they could in the Commercial B district. There's that district is just almost right across the street where there are some of these. Mary Shield had indicated that will not happen, but they're pretty set on these log home type condominiums that are up there, and the sale of them just isn't going real smooth. So what they want to do is rent these now, and maybe it'll take off in the future for condominiums.
But my concern is having more storage units along that highway, and I think we should put a stipulation in there that no storage units are allowed in that parcel.
Okay. Are we able to do that?
Why not?
Wait a minute, aren't you the zoning administrator?
You can, but it has to be referred back to the committee.
I think you have to refer it back.
Yes.
With the recommendation to do that.
Yes.
But I don't think you can just approve it.
Well, without them knowing about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll make that motion then to refer that back to the committee then, because we certainly don't want any more storage units along that highway at all. Thank you.
Motion by Andrea Richmond to refer back to committee. Is there a second on referral? Second by Ralph Geary. On the topic of referral, Marilyn Pedretti.
Okay, first question. If it goes back to referral, this zoning permit has to pay the fee again?
No, they won't.
Okay.
No, they won't.
Second question, has the town met and put conditions on this yet? Can you please
speak
under it?
Mike.
I believe we put a condition on there that no more business other than a beauty salon and an office is what we would let them put in there.
So those were the conditions that were on it prior?
For the town. As far as the town is concerned.
I don't know if we received that within the 10 days, though.
Well, we did.
Supervisor Kyle.
Tuesday night.
Was it what Tuesday?
This last Tuesday we had the meeting.
Oh, it was due last Friday, before the agenda goes out to the county board. So.
Don Meyer on referral.
Well, they've already started building condos, and there's in there. There's 3 buildings now. I can't see they're ever going to put storage units in there, but at all, it would defeat their purpose, really.
Anyone else on referral? Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you. On that referral, those along that stretch there, is that going to be chiseled in stone, or is it going to be a moratorium for a short period of time, long period of time, which ways are going to be?
Moratorium on storage units?
Yeah, not building any more storage units along that area.
Well, I assume that what Ms. Richmond wanted to accomplish was to have a condition attached to this zoning, which would be a permanent one, for this particular parcel. It would be permanent, but it would be this parcel only.
So it's going to require a zoning change.
It would be a condition added to this zoning
change. Thank you.
Ralph Geary.
You made my point. You were talking about referral, but it was referral to do a specific thing, was to put that condition on. And if they're not going to object, then it's just a formality. They'll approve, and it'll go right through again.
Jill Billings.
Well, I don't understand exactly the process on this. In the minutes, it said that if Madary put conditions on that, then it would come back to the county board in August. So am I correct in understanding that because they weren't able to meet before our packet went out, you didn't have that information, so we're voting on something tonight that's not really complete?
But the state statutes indicate that the towns have 10 days after the county's public hearing to respond with a veto or some other piece of information or an amendment. And we created a chart, if everybody remembers, maybe 2 years ago that shows the flow. If we get something from the town that's contrary or different than the way that the committee met, then we would hold it over to the business portion of our meeting, which would be August 2nd now, and then it would come to the county board on the 19th. We did not receive anything from the town of Madary within that 10-day period. So,
okay, but
we didn't have that to refer or place, take it off this agenda and put it on the August 2nd agenda.
So if we refer it back, then would we take Madary's conditions under advisement? And
correct.
It would be included in our August 2nd vote.
That's right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very supportive of the notion of this referral. My concern has to do with fairness. And if the issue is storage units in general, I heard, you know, storage units on that stretch of road, that particular road, to me it feels a little bit unfair that we're being somewhat arbitrary in saying we got enough storage units there and we don't want any more in that particular part. I'm just wondering if we should really be asking the committee to be looking more comprehensively at the issue of storage units and their concentration in areas where we are making zoning decisions. I would feel better about that. If this gets referred back to committee, that would be great. I know we have to resolve this particular issue for this particular applicant, but I would hope that the committee is looking at a bigger picture report back to the county board or recommendation on storage units in general, because I think it's not just an issue on this stretch of this particular road.
I have a question for Jeff Blesky. Looking at the map here and visualizing what those log cabins look like back there, would they even have room for storage units on that parcel in the first place?
No, and that's a real good point, Mr. Chairman. There's actually a condominium plat over this whole parcel, all the acreage that's involved there, including the original. There's a kind of a brick house there, and that's being used as a beauty salon right now. But that's even been identified in a condominium. So when a condominium plat has been filed, all the units have to be identical. So the only way that storage units would be allowed is if they would amend the condominium plat to include some units, which would be kind of like some condominium plats will have units, but they'll also have garage units that you can buy a garage unit. So they would have to amend the condominium plat to include storage units that would only go with the condominium plat. It wouldn't be a commercial storage unit where the public could come in and use it. That's a real good point.
Andre Cotter.
Thank you. I certainly agree with Ms. Johnson that the whole area, hopefully, should be addressed in relation to storage units of any kind, which could include garages or whatever, freestanding from any other structure. But however this happens, I think it is necessary to take the first step. And even though it's an unlikely situation in this particular case, it seems that it will not be a hardship to these people. It will not interfere with their plan. But goodness knows, a few years down the road, it may not be working out for them, and they may want to sell it, and then you might have someone who'd come along and say, oh, yeah, let's match the storage units across the way. So I would strongly encourage the referral for both the purpose of addressing the town report and including our issue of the storage units.
Thank you.
On the topic of referral, any further discussion? Dan Ferries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff, did this meet with any opposition from anybody?
No, there may have been some at the town of Madary. I think there was a gentleman that lived just to the north of this that was concerned about the condominium project not going forward, but it actually is. Nobody showed up in opposition to this.
I'm just curious of what seemed to have changed over the last few years, and I think you're probably familiar with what I'm referring to, having property right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to zone commercial, and we had the DOT, the DNR, the Marsh Coalition, the Sierra Club. We had everybody that had mm-hmm. a purpose against us, the north-south corridor. What changed over the last few years that doesn't even meet opposition now?
This property actually had a commercial designation when it was a motel, and I don't know how many people remember the Stevermers Hotel out there. And the house that was there was also zoned commercial because that's where the operators of the hotel lived. That was kind of where the office was. And the east side of Highway 16 is on the bluff. So it's not a real good place for, like, commercial activity to happen because you'd have to be looking backwards to see it. But if it's where you live, it's something that's fine. So the introduction of something that would be more of a commercial use than what you could see when you're passing by just really doesn't fit that piece. But they didn't want to lose that zoning designation because with the zoning designation comes a lot of value, property value. We had given them some advice to maybe take it to the residential C district, which is the multifamily use, which the condominiums would normally fall under. They can still do this in the commercial B district because it's a mixed use. In some of the commercial districts we have, the people live upstairs and their business is down below. So they didn't want to lose that ability to do this. So that's why they wanted these conditions taken off. They couldn't do that with the conditions that were placed on there. They'd have to remain condominiums. They couldn't rent the units out. That's why they were asking for those conditions to be dropped.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
On referral, any further discussion? Chuck Spiker.
Jeff, would this come under extraterritorial for the city of La Crosse or not?
Condominium plats do not.
Do not?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We're still on referral. Any further discussion on that? All in favor of referring this back to committee, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
We're going to have to do this one on the computer. If you are in favor of referral back to the committee, vote yes. If you do not want to refer back to the committee, vote no. The motion to refer back to committee has passed on a vote of 23-9, so that goes back to committee.
23-9.
Next item, Mr. Meyer.
Wow.
Okay, where are we? Okay, item 7-11. This is a resolution for approval to replat the second edition of the Rockland Cemetery. Whereas pursuant to Section 157.07 Wisconsin statute, the County Board of Supervisors is required to approve the sub-cemetery plat before it can be recorded in the Office of the Register of Deeds. Now, therefore, be it resolved that La Crosse County does hereby approve the replat of the second edition of the Rockland Cemetery, Town of Burns, La Crosse, Wisconsin. And along with that, this would all be contingent upon the Circuit Court approval of vacating the first plot. I don't know if you want to add that as a amendment or how that should be put on here, but that's
you can include that as part of your motion.
Okay, that has to happen. There's no physical impact to La Crosse County. I move for your approval.
Moved by Mr. Meyer to approve the second plat contingent upon court approval of vacating the first one. Seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 7-12, first consideration of Ordinance 82 to amend the future land use map incorporated as part of Section 31.03, Paragraph 4 of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. This is the first reading. Hold it for 30 days, and we will discuss it on August 19th.
That will be held over. Thank you. Mr. Schrader?
Do I dare ask a question on the map?
Oh, you can ask questions on it.
Thank you. What's the classification of the fish and wildlife land on Bryce's Prairie?
I think Charlie Handy has that answer. Can you bring the map up on the screen? Charlie, as long as you're there, maybe why don't you just...
Classification is non-residential.
That answer your question, Mr. Schrader?
Why wouldn't that be public or institutional?
Because in the town of Onalaska's comprehensive plan, they had it as conservation mixed use, which fits into the category of non-residential in our comprehensive plan.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. The reference at the bottom of the key to corridor planning and design districts, can you explain that? Because the word corridor is kind of emotionally loaded around this town.
The corridors that are mapped are the corridors of federal designated highway corridors. So the only corridors that are mapped on the plan are 35, I-90, and 16.
Any other questions or discussion? All right, this will be held over till next month. Is that it for you, Mr. Meyer?
That's it.
Thank you, sir. Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 7-13 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding acknowledging the best of public service. Whereas the following employees have been a faithful part in providing the best of public service to La Crosse County, namely Kathleen Bjorgi in Child Support Department for 20-plus years, Candace Hillary, Human Services Clinical Department, 36-plus years, Dorothy Schmaltz in the Health Department, 18-plus years, and John McGivern at Lakeview Health Center for 23-plus years. And whereas it is the wish of the County Board of Supervisors to acknowledge long and faithful service on behalf of the citizens of La Crosse County, now therefore be it resolved that a resolution extending our congratulations be recorded in La Crosse County Board proceedings and a certificate of our actions be presented as an expression of our gratitude, I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Andrea Richmond. Discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 7-14 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding authorizing formation of the Ad Hoc Redistricting Committee. Whereas Wisconsin Statute 59.10, Parent 3, Parent B, sets forth the ground rules for counties in the state of Wisconsin for creating supervisory districts within 60 days after the population count by block established in the decennial federal census of population and maps showing the location and numbering of census blocks become available, And whereas the formation of an ad hoc redistricting committee will assist the county board in complying with the requirements of federal and state law in creating the new supervisory districts, and whereas it is proposed that the ad hoc redistricting committee consist of 12 members as follows: 7 county board members and 3 citizen members appointed by the county board chair, the City of La Crosse council president or his or her designee, and a representative from the League of Women Voters. And whereas as part of the responsibilities, the ad hoc redistricting committee shall make recommendations to the county board as to the size of the board and the boundaries of the supervisory districts, and that such recommendations shall be subject to board approval. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize the county board chair to form the ad hoc redistricting committee to consist of a total of 12 members. Be it further resolved that the ad hoc redistricting committee shall recommend to the county board a proposed supervisory district plan that is in compliance with state and federal law regarding redistricting, and that sets forth the number of supervisory districts and the boundaries of the district, and the plan shall be subject to approval by the county board. Fiscal note is no monies were appropriated for redistricting in the 2010 budget. Any costs needed for redistricting could be included in the 2011 budget or approved by the county board at a later date. I move its approval.
Moved by Chair Johnson. Is there a second? Second by John Menninger. Any discussion or questions? Mr. Ebert.
Just out of curiosity, how did the representative from the League of Women Voters get included? It looks like it's very clean, and then all of a sudden one outside group gets represented and no one else. I'm just wondering where that came from.
Well, and I had asked Mr. Shepard to pull this together, and so that was my idea. And I know that the League has been involved in what I'll call good government types of things over the years. That's the only reason.
Okay, and I guess because then someone could say citizens responsible government could also be the same type of thing. I guess I'd like to make a motion that the League of Women Voters be excluded, and just give you can certainly still appoint that, but it just doesn't make sense to have one group mentioned at the expense of others. So I'd like to make a motion that the League of Women Voters be excluded.
Mr. Ebert moves to delete the representative of the League of Women Voters. Is there a second on that? Is that a second, Mr. Schrader? Okay, so that was second, and now discussion on excluding the League of Women Voters representative, Tara Johns. Or Mr. Ebert, did you want to continue?
No, it just doesn't make, I mean, it's a very clean thing. You have the ability to appoint. We have all sorts of, you know, female members of our county board. I just don't see why we want to bring in, you know, a designated representative from an outside source. It just doesn't make sense to me to clean up the bill.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With all due respect to my good friend, Supervisor Ebert, I do believe that the League of Women Voters historically in Wisconsin, nationally, has a long reputation of citizen involvement, of studying issues exactly like redistricting. They put on seminars for elected officials, for redistricting committees. They have a lot of resources that they have brought for decades to bear on redistricting, and I think they have a tremendous amount of expertise that will be helpful to the redistricting committee. I'm not aware of that same history that Citizens for Responsible Government has, and I think it is, it would be, I guess I would liken it to kind of the good housekeeping seal of approval that products have gotten historically, that the League of Women Voters involvement in this redistricting committee would bring to bear the reputation, the stellar reputation of the League of Women Voters to its work. And I strongly encourage my colleagues to vote against this amendment.
Jill Billings. Bev Mock.
I just wanted to agree with Tara. I also want you to know that there are males who belong to League of Women Voters now. I belong and have for decades, and I would say a third of the people who show up at our monthly meetings now are men.
John Menninger.
Well, and actually, I used to be a member of the League of Women Voters, and so it isn't just an all-female organization, and they do a tremendous amount of good. They're nonpartisan. They do play it straight down the middle. They've been involved in redistricting for a long time.
But I'm not sure that we necessarily need to get into a fight here about this and compare this to CRG. Pretty soon we'll have an NRA member or something like that. And Mr. Chairman, you're going to make the appointments anyway. So in order to avoid a fight, or we're going to just kind of insult each other about who's whatever, I think you could take this out and just appoint a League of Women Voter member and get back to the same spot. You're going to do it anyway, right?
Yeah, I'm going to.
So...
unless I'm somehow prohibited, I'm going to.
You could avoid us urinating on each other and just take this out and do what you're going to do anyway.
Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree. I think we need to, you know, you appoint the members that you feel should be on there, but at least strike out the League of Women Voters, which I think they do a great job as well. But I think more importantly, we probably need the two city clerks from the Onalaska and La Crosse being on that committee. I think it's very important.
They'll be ex officio representatives. We've already been in discussions with them. We're our county clerk of La Crosse, county clerk or city clerk of La Crosse, city clerk of Onalaska, will be asking the various town and village clerks to, you know, while we're talking here is the voting members, but we're going to bring in as many people as will help the process, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Maureen Friedland. Ralph Geary.
Thank you. I agree with John. I think as a practical matter, if you name any group, does that person vote for the group or do they vote for themselves? If they're representing a group, then they'd have to take the information back to the group, and however the group voted, then they would vote back at the committee. But you know what I mean. But if they're an individual, on the League of Women Voters that gets appointed, then they're voting for them, quote, themselves, maybe using the same guidelines or whatever set forth by the group. I think John hit it. Just appoint somebody from it instead of naming them.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think there is a value in including the League of Women Voters representative on this body. I am not currently a member. Years ago I was, council, or at least board member Medinger. The reason I'm not a member is simply because there's a limit on my time. It's not that I have any disagreement or lack of respect for the that group. And I do think that there is a value in designating someone to represent an organization that has studied and worked as much as they do in relation to election issues. So I would encourage my fellow members to support this. Thank you.
Jeff Schrader.
I wasn't clear on what Supervisor Richmond's proposal was and what your answer was.
What was her proposal? I'm not. Oh, they don't need to be voting members. They are going to be participants. They'll be staff, if you will, like our county clerk, like our like Jeff Plesky. They will be given notices of all the meetings.
Okay, then my question is, why people from the other entities in the county, governmental entities, City of Onalaska and Holman, wouldn't be placed on here and not just a member of the city council?
The reason for the city council person is that we historically have tried to match our lines with the City of La Crosse. Because they are the biggest municipality, if we can have our lines be identical to theirs, it saves a lot of money in terms of ballots and less confusion for the voters, what district am I in or whatever. Because of the different population sizes, you could never do that where our lines match up with every community. So you'd do the biggest one. If we can get them to be identical, great. If we start out with them having a representative from the city be on our committee, hopefully that will help facilitate matching those lines again. We've had some discussion on the county board, and you know, a lot of people have talked about, you know, reducing the size of the board. If we do that, by default, if we have identical lines with the city, that's going to reduce the size of the city council. So if we say we're going to reduce and they say, heck no, we're not going to reduce, we're not going to have lines that match up. So for us to start out right from the beginning with the city that matters in terms of trying to match things up, that's why we have a representative there. Not that we want to exclude anybody else, but quite honestly, our lines will never match with my town of Onalaska or your town of Campbell.
So that couldn't happen unless this person from the city was on there, an extra person from the city. I don't know how many other ones are going to be on there.
I mean, could it happen that it work out that we would coordinate with the city even without a city council representative? Sure. I mean, let me draw the lines myself. I'll make everybody happy. But I don't think that people would agree that they would be happy with the way I drew the lines. So I think that we want to hear from as many people as possible to make this a collaborative effort. And with that being our most important partner.
That being what?
That being our most important partner, the city of La Crosse.
That's pretty shaky.
Well, Don Vina.
Mr. Doyle, there's a motion and a second on the floor, and we're traveling all over except on the motion now. We should get rid of the motion because I have a couple of questions to ask, too.
Sure. The motion is to, or the amendment is to eliminate the League of Women Voters representative. And by the way the motion was stated, I believe that what that would do is reduce the membership from 12 to 11.
Excuse me, then I guess I should go to four citizen members.
Okay, then I then you need to clarify, because that isn't how I heard.
My apologies, sir.
Okay, so your amendment then, and who was the seconder on that? Mr. Jeff Schrader, I think. Okay, to clarify, that that's what the two of you had intended, is that it would be still the same number, total of 12, but no specific representative from League of Women Voters. Okay, people clear on that? Ralph Geary?
I thought he said he didn't want it made mention that they were representing a group. He said appoint someone from that group, but don't.
No,
but
did,
well, I heard him say it from back here.
He said,
I believe he said I probably would, but he didn't say that I would have to, but that we would keep it secret.
With 12, it'll still come out the same, and you can take somebody off the League of Women Voters. It's just they won't be, they will be designated as an individual then instead of a member of the group.
Tara Johnson, can you take the chair? Because I...
Oh,
okay. Jill, can you take the chair? And I think it's better if I be over here, because people may have other questions. This is no doubt the most controversial thing that we do every 10 years, because it affects every one of you. And everybody's going to look at this, whether you admit it or not, you're going to look at it through the eyes of your own special interest. I believe that is just human nature, all right? And so when I looked at putting this committee together, I first looked at what did they do 10 years ago. They brought together a group of people and, you know, kind of along these lines. I specifically wanted Bill to include a representative from the League of Women Voters, because that is an organization that historically has been involved in good government issues and involved specifically in issues of redistricting. I mean, they have gone on record. They have done, as Tara Johnson said, they've done seminars and trainings and so forth to do it where you pull the politics out. I'm trying to have this be a clean process by bringing in people that don't have an agenda other than an agenda of good government, okay? And I believe that having a person from the League of Women Voters who is there as, you know, Susie Smith is not the same thing as having a person who is there from the League of Women Voters. I mean, I think that to respond to, you know, Ralph Geary's comment, are they going to vote the way they want, or are they going to vote the way the League of Women Voters thinks they should? I would hope they're going to vote the way the League of Women Voters think they should. That's why I want them on there. I don't want Ms. Smith on there. I want a League of Women Voters person on there, because that is going to help keep the process honest. So I would ask that you vote against this amendment, because I want to start this off from day one with the perception that this is going to be a fair process.
All right, Supervisor Ebert.
Will the league name their own person?
Yes.
And you will name the other 11?
Yes.
That sounds fair. Thank you.
Supervisor Bina?
There was an issue I was going to bring up, but I was going to wait until this was done. But since everything is included in the same ball of wax, then I'm going to bring it up now. I have a whole file at home on a committee that was not dismissed and there was a size committee put together by you a few years ago that Sharon Hampton was the chairman.
Don, can you hold that off and we will talk about it after this vote?
I agree.
Because I will address that.
I agree.
I will address that.
We'll address the amendment right now,
okay,
and then
that's
we'll talk about that and we'll address. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if Supervisor Ebert is going to withdraw his motion since he's been assured that there's a fairness factor in how the members of this redistricting committee will be appointed.
No, ma'am. I would prefer we go ahead with the vote. Thank you.
All right. Let's vote on the amendment if everybody's ready. Let's do it on the computer. Okay, I'm voting for you. Jay, watch him.
There you go.
Supervisor Cotter.
I misvoted, so if you could either change it or... Who asked you?
Okay, your vote's been reopened, Audrey. The amendment fails on a vote of 26 no. And 6 yes. Now we'll discuss the resolution. Don, did you want to speak to the resolution?
Well, I just wanted to ask the question that if this committee that you're going to be appointing is going to look at both things, the redistricting lines and the size of the board. We have a committee yet in power under Sharon Hampson that was never absolved and dismissed. I've got all of the figures at home yet from all of the counties. We did the research on the size of county boards. And if this committee is going to be doing both jobs, at some point, you better dismiss the old one or get the information they captured to the new committee so that they can, in the next year, decide on the size of the county board, because it's going to take a while to do that, because there's a lot of information out there that was gathered while we were working, and nothing ever happened of it, except for the fact that it was stated we're not going to do any more with the committee until after the new census figures come back, and then we'll reopen the investigation again.
Chairman Doyle?
I don't know if that committee was absolved, but I thought it was dissolved. They made the recommendation that we not make any change at this time, but we're not going to reinvent the wheel. I mean, that committee had done a lot of work, and Jeff Blusky has all that information, as probably our county clerk does too. So we'll be building upon that, collecting as much information. There's actually, in addition to the drawing the district lines, and secondly, choosing the number of districts that there will be, a third issue has come up that we're going to have the committee talk about, which is, should we look at staggered terms? And so, you know, anything having to do with those related type issues goes through this committee. And ultimately, though, it's a vote of the board. If you don't like what that committee comes up with, you vote it down and you send them back to work. The census numbers come in at the end of this year or early next year, so we would be able to start that process in terms of seriously looking at what lines could look like at that point. But before then, we can certainly have that theoretical discussion of number of districts. And when I say theoretical, what Jeff Plesky could tell you is that when you have an idea about what number you want, sometimes the math pushes you a little bit one way or another. If we decide 26 is the right number, but then we run the math and, you know, gee, 25 works better or 27 works better. So we wouldn't land on just a number, but we'd get a range. And we can start doing that right now. And the idea of the potential for staggered districts, we could do that right now. So I would envision this committee starting August or September.
All right. You ready to vote on the resolution? Okay, let's do this on the computer.
Got a question over here.
I'm sorry. Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask Chairman of the Board how he came up with the number of 7 on that committee out of 12 or county board members. They technically, county board members then control that committee, don't they?
It could be strictly a county board committee. It wouldn't have had to have any public members. I wanted to add public members. I think I started with the premise that this is a county board operation.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? All right, let's vote on the resolution. Let's vote on the computers.
Why isn't this disappearing from my screen? I'm clicking on it. There we go. Bad clicker? Defective equipment. 32 yeses, any no's? Okay, that resolution passed on a vote of 32-0 with one abstention and absent. Oh, I thought you said abstention. Okay, one absent. All right. So that passes. Next item.
Item 7-15 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding approval of sale of vacant lots in Meadow Park Estates. Whereas on June 4th, 2010, judgment was entered in La Crosse County Circuit Court vesting La Crosse County with an estate in simple fee absolute in 55 vacant lots in Meadow Park Estates located in the Village of Rockland as a result of the action of foreclosure of tax liens by proceeding in rem pursuant to Wisconsin Statute Section 75.521. And whereas each lot has a market value as of June 11th, 2010 in the amount of $17,000 as determined by the appraiser. And whereas La Crosse County has advertised the sale of the above vacant lots. And whereas the county may accept the bids most advantageous to it, but at the first attempt to sell the properties, every bid less than the appraised value of $17,000 per lot shall be rejected. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the county board chair and or the county administrator is authorized to accept the highest bid that is most advantageous to La Crosse County for each of the above described vacant lots in Meadow Park Estates that have been advertised for sale by publication of a Class 3 notice in the La Crosse Tribune, but every bid less than the appraised value of the property shall be rejected. Be it further resolved that the county board chair and the county clerk are hereby authorized to execute any and all documents necessary to accomplish the sale of said properties after approval by the Corporation Council. Fiscal note is the revenue from the sale of tax delinquent property is first used to satisfy outstanding unpaid tax liens. The average amount of unpaid liens owed on each lot is as follows. Real estate taxes, $275.47. Interest, $1,094.26. Penalties, $547.36. And special assessments, $14,548.62 for a total average amount owed per lot of $16,465.70. Any remaining revenue will be receded into the current fiscal year in a new sale of county property revenue account in the Economic Development Org 1061-56015. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson. Is there a second? Seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Discussion or questions? Jeff Schrader.
What does the state statute say in accordance with the state statute? What does it? What does that say, or is that stated here?
Dave?
I can tell you. Yeah, that's, Jeff, that's 59.69, and it's the state statute that deals with interim foreclosure. You have to go through a certain procedure for selling property to take it to foreclosure. It just follows that procedure. You have to do it by class three notice, and it has to be for at least the appraised value.
Okay, thanks. And then also, is this an account is it is open on the fiscal note here? The current fiscal year and the new sale of the county property revenue account in the Economic Development Org, is that something that's already?
Well, traditionally, this revenue would be receded into the county treasurer's department. However, it's we normally don't budget much in this in that account anyway. It's like $1,000 or something. Since the Economic Development Department has spent considerable amount of time on this particular project, it was the preference of the county administrator that any revenue proceeds or profit proceeds from this go into a new account in the economic development budget.
Haven't we also, last 15, 20 years, land sales have gone into economic development?
Well, yes, as far as property out at Lakeview Farm, yes.
Okay, I thought so.
Yes.
Discussion? Did I see any other hands? Don Vina?
Well, I was just kind of curious. This used to be my district before the last reapportionment. Does this, you know, this 16,465 sounds awful high. Are the roads in? Are the sidewalks in? Is everything completed, sewer and water and everything out there? So this includes all of that, and it's all a done deal already. And we just prorated it back per lot. Then.
Yeah, I don't know that sidewalks are in.
Well, there's probably no sidewalks.
But the utilities are
but
in.
But everything is included in this. That's why it is as high as it is.
Yes.
Okay, because I was just wondering.
The MPAF.
Thank you. I was wondering for Gary, does what portion of that will actually go back to Rockland itself? Because they have not collected the whole special assessments for them. So of this money, it's not really all across, it's La Crosse County money, but it's some of it will go to the town of Rockland, correct?
Correct.
I mean, in how much?
Let's have Mr. Fukuda come up and address that.
Ryan, you heard the question?
We did a breakdown down, assuming all of these lots sell for what is currently owed in back taxes, special assessments,
the 11
and
of them or
penalties.
55 of them?
Based on the 11 that we've posted for sale to date, the county would retain $41,304.22. The village would get $141,889.16. So the majority of it would go back to the village of Rockland. And that's because they've paid the majority of the special assessments. We've reimbursed them for 1 year of special assessments.
Right. We reimbursed them for 1 year, and then last year that $106,000 or whatever that we didn't reimburse them, is that what you're looking at then? And how much do they owe us from the years before, or don't they, that was not paid by Rockland when we had paid the taxes on it?
We would, basically the $41,304 that we would retain would cover the taxes, the back taxes for now 4 years, which the county has paid. The interest and penalties on that, and then the 1 year of special assessments, interest and penalties on that.
Okay, I just wish that this would have been broken out easier for everyone to understand, but that's okay as long as they understand now that all this from that, it's not 16 or 17,000 times 11 that La Crosse County proper would get.
Right, right. And if they sell for, I mean, what's owed in back taxes and special assessments is about almost, well, it's $16,653. So the potential revenue that would go into that economic development account is about $346 a lot. So it's not a lot of money. Assuming they all sell for the $17,000 that they're appraised at. So,
any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 7-17, just while I'm reading this, I would make sure that supervisors see that there's a full copy of the agreement and the cover letter attached to this resolution to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding approve acceptance of agreement for emergency ambulance.
Oh, you're one ahead.
Sorry. You can read ahead for that one. Item 7-16 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution authorizing the formation of an ad hoc assessment reform study committee. I yield the floor to Supervisor Geary.
Mr. Geary.
Well, thank you, Madam. Honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, requesting an authorization to form an ad hoc assessment reform study committee. Whereas the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, through Secretary Roger Irving, proposes to change the current municipal assessment of real and personal property, and whereas the DOR has studied and found valid concerns over local assessment and state equalization practices which warrant property assessment reform, whereas the DOR proposes recommendations that will benefit Wisconsin's taxpayers and generate trust again by implementing an annual full market value assessment with cost savings by eliminating the equalization process, and whereas the DOR proposal was developed at many statewide public hearings with input from all levels of government, members of the assessment industry, and experts in property valuation. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors does hereby form an ad hoc committee to collaborate with all towns, villages, and cities in the county to further study cost savings, i.e. contracts versus full-time assessment district employees, placement and staffing of assessment district offices, certification, better training, and overall improvement of the current assessment process using state-certified assessment software. The fiscal note is no county funds have been budgeted for this study. Any future costs would need to be approved by the county board. I move for its approval.
Moved by Mr. Geary, seconded by Vicki Burke. Discussion?
Well,
go ahead, Mr. Geary.
Just to make it short, Jeff and Carl Green made a presentation to the county board a few months back on this issue, and then at the conclusion of their presentation, I asked what committee was dealing with this or where it was going, and everybody went blank. So I stopped in and seen Jeff, asked him to have a resolution drafted to take it to the next step. He met with Corporation Council, and that's how it ended up here. It was a continuation from that planning meeting we had a few months back, where I assume most supervisors were at.
Now discussion, Don Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few concerns, and then I'd like to have Jeff Blushke come up and talk, but I'll give mine first. My question is, do we need another ad hoc committee to study something we don't have the adequate information on them to work with? We don't have the costs for the assessor's salary or the benefits or other costs for computers, software, and so on. Who will be selected for this committee? The people selected will have to have a knowledge of the assessment world. This is a committee that Mr. and Mrs. John Doe won't be qualified for. Who will select the committee? And will it need county board approval? Upon completion, will a committee report to the PRD committee, the executive committee, or directly to the county board? We use the word collaboration in this resolution, and I'm not sure what they're collaborating yet, because there's no facts. We can't go to anybody and say, this is the cost, this is what we think we should do, because we don't know. Now, maybe in a few months we will. At this point, we don't. We don't have the numbers for the cost at this time because we know of the assessment problem in the county and in the state. but we need to know. We do know that something has been done, has to be done. But we need more data and more for make some recommendation. I will be voting no on this resolution and hope for your support. But however the vote comes out, I respect the wisdom of this body. At that point, I'd like to have Jeff Buschke come up.
Do you have a specific question for Jeff?
I'd like to have him hear his thoughts on this.
Jeff.
From the minutes, you'll probably see that this was discussed at the Planning, Resources, and Development Committee, and they voted, I think it was, in opposition.
5-2.
And then it went on to executive where it was passed. I'm probably the most biased person on earth on this topic right now, so I think everybody knows where we stand and why all the studies have been done so far. Mr. Schrader had already asked, you know, what's happening and is this going to happen anyway? I'm thinking that property assessment reform is going to happen. And the biggest question that in everybody's mind right now, including the four villages, the two cities, and the 12 townships, is what's this going to cost us? And I think if I was a municipality, I would be asking that question too, because you have to. The state ends of the Department of Revenue through the Secretary Roger Irving, they're indicating that there's going to be a lot of cost savings. The cost savings are savings that the Cross County and our municipalities might not see, because they're eliminating it, they're proposing to eliminate a whole department, and that's called equalization. Because the state has seen the wisdom that they're duplicating something that the local municipalities have been trying to do. But because the state law has indicated the local assessors can assess at a level of assessment, the state has to come in and assess all the properties, not individually like the municipalities do, but at 100%. And that's not working, because a lot of the assessors don't get their work done on time, so then the state has to estimate it, and that's where the system has become very broke. So the cost savings that are being proposed would be, rather than having part-time assessors in each municipality, right now the City of La Crosse is the only municipality that has full-time. And I could give you all the examples. You've already heard that through the studies that we've done and the charts that we've put together. So I don't think we have to even go there. But what's being proposed are full-time assessors that are licensed and not certified. Certification is just a stamp that says you can go out and assess. You don't have to have any pre-qualifications that you've done this anywhere before. So you can come in, you can put a low bid on the municipality, and believe me, you're gonna get the job, because right now the municipalities go on the lowest bid, not the best work. And the state is trying to reverse that and say that doesn't work anymore because there's too many mistakes, properties are missed, and so on. The state wants to see full-time assessors that are licensed. And whatever shape this ends up taking, they're proposing right now, not countywide, even though I think that's the best common denominator. They're looking at districts that might be 4 townships, 6 townships. One assessor is going to work in all of them. Each municipality is still going to have an assessor that does their work, somebody that they can talk to. The question that pops up is, where is that assessor going to be located within those 6 municipalities? Who's going to house this person if it has to be housed? Are they going to have an office? Are they going to have staff? So there's all these kinds of questions, and these are the costs, I think, that are popping up. I think the City of La Crosse has a full-time assessor's office, but their budget might be $700,000. I have no idea. Where does that fit if they don't have to have, you know, those 6 or 7 assessors anymore? So everybody's going to have these questions, but nobody knows how much it's going to cost or what it's going to save. So is it premature? And I think this is the question that Supervisor Meyer was asking. Is this premature because we don't know what the shape is going to look like yet? So are we going to study something that's we're kind of measuring with both hands behind our back? I don't even know. Do I think this resolution is a good idea? It's going to have to happen at some point. But how long do we just roll along and try and figure this out? So I'm not trying to persuade anybody here, but just kind of give you guys some facts that something has to be done. But is now the time? And I can't answer that. So,
Leon Paff.
Thank you. I was going to ask Jeff if there's. Can you hear me now? What I was going to ask you is, have you taken this out into the townships and asked has the townships dealt with this, and what is their feelings?
I have personally attended three Wisconsin town chapter meetings. The reception hasn't been very good, from the simple fact that the locals like control. They like their own control, and there's nothing wrong with that. The state is indicating you're still going to have control, but rather than signing a contract for the lowest bid, you're going to be signing a contract with somebody where there's four or five other municipalities besides your own town, so you're going to have to make some decisions together rather than individually on how is this work going to be done to the best job that the assessor can do with some kind of a staff. One of the things that has happened is the Department of Revenue has come up with a system called IPAS. It's called Integrated Property Assessment System. It's their computer system for property mass appraisal. And they're indicating that this system will come up with three comparable sales on every single piece of property. That is not done right now by the local assessors because it's not required. So when you come in and object to your assessment, that assessor is going to show you three comparable sales that are indicate this is how I came up with your value. So it starts to eliminate all the question on what have you done for the municipality? Have you come in and complained and, you know, the assessor has lowered your assessment before they even get to the Board of Review just because they don't want these people going to the Board of Review. So artificially, some people are getting lower assessments. They want to eliminate that. They want to bring professionalism to each one of the municipalities. And how is this going to happen? When Secretary Roger Irving was here with his staff right down the hall, they were still talking countywide assessing. After going to a lot of counties and a lot of municipalities around the state, they got the idea from the locals that this wasn't going to work because they didn't have control. That's why they've revised this to indicate the municipalities are going to be able to pick somehow the third-like municipalities that they're going to join with and create a district. But there's going to be one full-time assessor that's going to be working, and then how he's going to or she's going to get that done with staff, maintenance people, fielding sales, sticking sales in for comparable sales, all that, is up to the person that's in charge. Okay?
Bridget Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It would seem to me that this might be a real valuable thing to us simply because being ahead of the pack would allow us to influence the state more so than other counties that would not be interested in this or jump on the bandwagon. I also kind of think that, you know, when you're looking at an ad hoc committee, the people on the committee are the people appointed by the county chair, and what they do is the charge of the chair, and the chair can direct them to pretty much do anything he sees that would be in the scope of this committee, including perhaps serving on the committee with and certainly disseminating information to townships, localities, so we could hopefully have a collaboration that would stand up strong and say, well, this is the way we think it should be done to the state.
Audrey Kyder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to point out the wording of the "now therefore be it resolved." It says that we do form an ad hoc committee to collaborate with all towns, villages, and cities in the county to further study. So I think at this stage, that's what we really need to do. And I would certainly encourage my fellow supervisors to support this, the continuing study. We all, I think Mr. Blusky made it very clear that there is a lot of discrepancy in relation to the way that the assessments are done at the moment. And so I don't read this as locking ourselves into any particular system of the moment other than to get out and be ahead of the game. And so I would encourage you definitely to support this. Thank you.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just add to that that the reality is, forgetting what Department of Revenue has planned or has heard from people or even what's outlined in the whereas clauses here, if La Crosse County wants to do countywide assessment, we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the purpose of this committee would be to see if we can come up with a system of countywide assessment that is cost-effective, that is palatable to villages and municipalities, that is whatever is on our checklist of what we want, and we can do our own thing. It doesn't really matter what the state's going to do, thinking about doing, has talked about doing, and that to me has value. That's the value of this ad hoc committee, is not only to do what Supervisor Flood and Supervisor Cotter have said, but if we, you know, not only be ahead of the state, but just create our own system if that's what we decide to do.
Don Vina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any number of things that I'm going to be going through. First of all, Roger Irvin is a thing of the past because he's going to be going with the governor when he loses his job next year, and there's going to be a new bunch coming in. Now, what they're going to say, I don't know. The third paragraph says something about cost savings. And even though, Jeff, you were asked a year ago about what the cost might be for setting a system up that you're talking about, nobody has got that cost yet, and we can't tell if there's cost savings or not. I don't know if there is, but if the county is going to hire a department and start a department, you need 4, 5, 6 people. I'm not sure if you're going to have a cost saving, but we would like to see that. I know for a fact the towns, if this committee is appointed, I'd like to see some town people on it, because they will tell Jeff really quick exactly what they think. And if you look at what happened around the state already, Racine County went this way 5, 6 years ago. They put it in place for 2 or 3 years, and they threw it out. I don't know why, but I would like to get a speaker from that county to come over here and explain what happened in their county, because I can't tell you what their problems were. The cost analysis, and by the way, the assessors do need state certification before they get put on the job assessing for the state of Wisconsin. So they are certified, they go through the program, and I don't know what the program is, but they all have a paper degree that says we went through the system. Now, maybe that's not what you want, and I don't know how far you want to go beyond that, but I guess in final summation, if you have the committee, I don't care. I'm not going to vote for it either. But if you have the committee, bring us the information that we want to hear, because the towns want to hear it too. Mm-hmm. Because right now, 90 to 95% of the towns are opposed to this type. They pay the bill now for the assessor, and we don't. And if we take it over, we start paying the bills and the staff that go along with it.
Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you. all we're asking for is authorization to form this reform study committee. Down the road, we can decide who has the knowledge, the education, and assessments and taxes and things like that. So that's all we're asking for is authorization for the committee. We're getting a the cart before the horse, or with that, I call the question.
It ain't going to happen. We got too many people that still want to talk. Sorry. Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to say that if we know that there are problems and inequities in the current system and we don't study it, I would think that we would be delinquent in doing what we were required to do as supervisors.
Tina Weirs.
I just want to explain my thinking at the committee level was that when Jeff talked about how much time and effort and what would have to go into this study and the likelihood that it could be an administrative rule beforehand or you know, that it's going to happen at the state level before that anyways, all this work that they're going to do is going to be wasted. And maybe, I don't know if anybody cares to hear from Jeff how much work that is and how much time that this committee is going to have to put in to do a study that probably, you know, doing it, you know, singling ourselves out isn't probably the likely path. It's more a state thing. So that's was my thought at the committee level anyways.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I guess with the new administration coming, I think maybe we're premature and see what would happen at that point. The other thing, right now the towns and villages could go together and do this assessment right now without help from Big Brother County, correct? I mean, there's nothing that stops them. They do fire districts and all together. So I guess if they're interested, they would do it. The other question is, Supervisor Johnson said that the county could go to this now and impose that on the townships?
Mm-hmm. Can I answer?
Please. Sure. Yeah. Countywide assessment is state law.
It's still on the books. It has not been taken off. Now, if this does become law at some point, they're going to decide to take that out. They're going to revise all those chapters that are dealing with assessing and taxation. Okay.
And I would assume if we have this, there'll be a member of the League of Women Voters to make it credible.
No, maybe the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance on this one.
Yeah.
Andrea Richmond. Ralph Geary.
Thank you. You're asking Jeff a lot of questions that the committee is going to look at and try to get some resolution to. I think the point of the planning meeting was he said every district in the county, didn't matter if you're in La Crosse or town or village, some people are assessed too high, some people are assessed too low. How are you going to get that more equal? Well, you're going to have to somehow get some standards that everybody's got to go on. This doesn't mean you're going to have a countywide assessor. That may or may not even get looked at. I don't know that. The committee hasn't had one meeting yet. And any other questions you have, Jeff or the staff or whatever, we'll try to get you some kind of answers. In regards to what committee it reports to, I really don't care. It can report to executive, the PDR, the planning committee, and throw out a couple others if you want.
We already have a procedure. All of our ad hoc committees report through executive.
Oh, okay.
So I can answer that one right now.
Okay, fine. But it can go to PDR after you or something if you want. So you're asking a lot of questions that they haven't even been looked at yet. He just would be speculating up there. Mm-hmm. Do you want to form the committee to try to get some more uniform standards and improve the assessment process? Or don't you, is basically where we're at right here. So,
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this resolution is a response to a fairness and justice problem that people have acknowledged exists. The state won't deal with it because it's just too hot. And so I think we should. And the time is right because it's a problem now. So let's get on it. I don't care what the next administration says. They might even be influenced by what we say. La Crosse County is good at getting out in front of an issue and coming up with unique solutions. The rest of the county, the rest of the state respects us in that respect and they listen to us, and I think this is the perfect opportunity for us to come up with yet another well-studied and well-thought-out creative plan. And I intend to vote for it. Thank you.
Any further discussion? We ready to vote? Okay, vote on the computer. If you are in favor of the resolution, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no. Hmm. The resolution passes on a vote of 21 to 11. I'm going to ask Mr. Geary to chair that ad hoc committee, and if you are interested in serving on it, please contact the chair's office. Here is what I'm thinking. People who are on that committee have your work cut out for you. This is not going to be simple, and if it's stacked one direction or another direction, what you recommend is going to come to the floor and do a belly flop. So what I'm going to look for in putting members of this board on that committee is to try to get some balance. Because if we can't get a balance at that level, you're really wasting your time and the staff's time. So I do want volunteers. If you don't get picked, it's because we have too many of one side or the other side, whatever those sides may be. I'm going to try to look for some balance here, in particular a mix of cities, villages, towns, and so forth. I'm also going to encourage you, and Mr. Geary, I'm going to put this in your bailiwick, I'm also going to encourage you to go out to the towns and villages and the city of La Crosse and either get them as formal members of this committee or at least ad hoc members or ex officio or whatever members of this committee. I would prefer that they be voting members, because if this is going to work, they need to be at the table and they need to be invested in this. So you got your work cut out for you. People who are interested, talk to the chair's office and we'll get this thing rolling. All right, next item.
Item 7-17 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding approved acceptance of agreement for emergency ambulance services. This is the one where you should be looking at the agreement and the cover letter if you haven't already done so. They're attached to the resolution. Whereas the Joint City-County Emergency Medical Services Commission, I'm just going to use commission after this, was formed for the purpose of, among other things, establishing standards and contracting for emergency medical services in La Crosse County, reviewing provider performance, and reporting performance to the commission and other municipal government entities, and whereas Wisconsin statutes authorizes governing body of any city, village, town, or county to purchase equipment, operate, and maintain ambulances and contract for ambulance service with one or more providers, whereas the commission on behalf of the county, cities, villages, and towns located in La Crosse County has negotiated a fair and equitable agreement for emergency ambulance services with Tri-State Ambulance, Inc., which provides for the conveyance of the sick or injured by Tri-State at no cost to the local taxpayers, and also provides that the performance of Tri-State is subject to review by an independent oversight entity. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize acceptance of the agreement for emergency ambulance services between the Commission and Tri-State on behalf of La Crosse County. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby authorizes the County Board Chair to execute the agreement on behalf of La Crosse County. Fiscal note is the agreement provides that Tri-State shall not receive any reimbursement or subsidy from the Commission. All charges for emergency ambulance service shall be billed directly by Tri-State to the user of such service. Tri-State shall retain all income for emergency ambulance services performed under this agreement. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson, second by Margaret Wood. Discussion or questions? Dennis Monti.
Yes, I'll be voting no on this. We have reviewed it with our legal counsel, and legal counsel has talked to us from the town of Barrie, town of Hamilton, and the village of West Salem, recommending we not vote for this due to liability issues and lack of adequate insurance coverage.
I don't get that.
I'm just repeating what the attorneys told us.
Lack of liability insurance?
Liability coverage and lack insufficient insurance coverage.
Okay, first I've heard of that. Just further discussion. Marilyn Pedretti.
Town of Holland met last night and the board tabled it because they wanted to know two things. What happens if municipalities don't agree to this? You're looking for everybody to sign on. What does that mean if they don't? And they also want to know why a five-year versus a one-year renewal.
I can answer both of those questions. I'll start with why the five-year. Reason for a five-year, a lengthy period of time, is so that Tri-State has the inducement to invest in an operation knowing that they're going to be able to do that for a period of time, as opposed to spend a lot of money in new ambulances and so forth, and the next year now we have a new company coming in. So that's the reason for the length. What happens if the municipalities do not vote for it or do not take any action whatsoever? By default, they would receive ambulance coverage because that's what's been happening all along. If they choose to go off on their own and get their own ambulance service, they certainly have the right to do that, with obviously the biggest concern if the city would do that type of thing. From Tri-State's standpoint, you know, if one of the towns or even villages don't approve this, I don't know that they're going to be too concerned. If the city of La Crosse does not, they are going to be concerned, because that is the elephant in the room. If the city would decide to do its own ambulance service, and you may have heard that was an issue a while ago, big bad things would happen. So the answer is really kind of dual. If West Salem and so forth don't approve it, not a big deal. City of La Crosse doesn't do anything. Tri-State has indicated that they're not sure what they're going to do at this point. So, go ahead. You still have the floor.
I guess just to follow up then, if, say, the city of West Salem and Hamilton decide not, do they still get the service, but there's concern about liability. Does that mean they're not going to allow Tri-State to come in because of liability? I'm not following why a township wouldn't join in. I'm trying to get all the information I can to bring it back to our township. I don't understand why you wouldn't. If the county is Tri-State, the county goes with that, and everybody's Tri-State, you use the service, I'm not understanding why a municipality wouldn't.
And I guess, and I don't claim any expertise in the law of ambulances. Obviously, I have a law degree. Ambulance chasing, yes, not ambulance service. But the county does not have authority under the state to provide ambulance service. We are doing this really as a service for the convenience of the municipalities. So I would argue that by default, if West Salem doesn't sign this contract, you have acquiesced to letting somebody else make your decision for you, which I still think gets you the same liability. That would be my opinion. I don't think you get out of that liability. If somebody says, we have really bad ambulance service in the village of West Salem, and I was injured or permanently whatever, and I want to sue, I'm not sure you have any less liability. That's just my opinion in that regard. Anything else? Okay, John Menninger.
Well, I mean, the issue is what the La Crosse County is going to do, not what West Salem or these other municipalities are going to do. But I thought this was going to go through. I mean, it's a very important issue, but it's been talked about for 2 years. It destroyed the previous mayor of La Crosse. Tri-State has been very active in this. I can't believe we've got to this point, and Tri-State hasn't gone around to all the small units of other units of government, the West Salem, all the towns, and explain this to them. I mean, I'm shocked that some lawyer someplace gives a little advice at the end of the process. Hasn't Tri-State been to West Salem? Hasn't Tri-State been to the Towns Association?
Mr. Monti is shaking his head. No, they have not been out there.
But after all this hassle for 2 years? I mean, that's homework 101.
I think that's a good point, and I will pass that along to them. I think that they should be answering those questions. Mr. Paff.
Does this cover the ones that they're not covering now, like parts of Burns and Rockland and Bangor?
This covers really whoever wants to be covered. My understanding is that the town of Bangor may get in. They have not been in the past, but Ken Mankey, the Bangor town chair, has been a member of this committee, and he said he thinks that they are now going to get in. But if you're not in now, and if Farmington is on your own with whomever, aren't you right now?
Well, that depends. The far end could be with Sparta. Otherwise, both of Farmington is Tri-State.
Oh, okay. It doesn't change. It really doesn't change any of that. It really is, if you want to be in, you're in. And if you don't want to be, you're not. Mr. Menninger.
I'm not an expert on this issue, but you have to provide ambulance service to your constituents. Otherwise, you're not providing a basic service, and you open yourself up for endless lawsuits. I mean, just recently down in Prairie du Chien, their provider decided on a Saturday night or something that they couldn't do it. I mean, they scrambled, and they got somebody from Iowa to come over and provide it. If somebody calls 911 and the ambulance doesn't show up, there's going to be lawyers involved in this. And the local units of government, yeah. And the local units of government are going to be sued. If I call 911 and the ambulance doesn't come, there's going to be lots of lawsuits.
Further discussion. Jeff Schrader.
What kind of an agreement are we operating on at the present time?
We're not. There is none.
No agreement.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to abstain this time round because of the fact that the city has not taken action. I know that it's very frustrating for you that it has not. It's also very frustrating.
I would concur with that statement.
Yeah, I thought you would. It's nice we can agree most of the time. I would, as most of you know, the mayor is out of the city at the moment, but I only got a copy of it not too terribly long ago from Mr. Lang within the past week and a half. And so I've not been able to discuss it with the mayor, but I realize that it is time that the city has to take a position and deal with it. And so I will, as soon as I can get, I do have an appointment with the mayor when he returns in about 2 weeks. He'll be here briefly this weekend. But I will be abstaining, but I will make an effort to get this dealt with.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's been a privilege for me to serve on this commission and learn throughout that process. And I just want to make sure everyone appreciates the fact that the work that was done on this agreement was done in good faith, and it was done at the direction of this board, which asked us to come up with an agreement that would work countywide. And that's the product that you have in front of you. With all due respect to my colleagues in this room who hold multiple offices, you sit in this room as a county board supervisor. You sit in other rooms holding other offices. The vote we are asking you to take tonight is as a county board supervisor and whether this agreement is good for La Crosse County.
Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to point out that on the committee there were representatives, as you said before, from the Village of Holman, the City of Onalaska, the Towns Association, the City of La Crosse, and it wasn't just the work of this committee in forming the contract, but much discussion for 2 years prior to that. And it was a unanimous vote at the committee level. In my opinion, and those people discussed it in good faith, and many changes and adaptations in the contract came as a result of that discussion with those municipalities. And we all assumed, I wasn't on the committee, but observed some of the committee meetings, and that it was a good faith situation where people were willing to participate and have a cooperative agreement. It's my understanding that this wouldn't have had to go to the municipalities at all, that certainly the contract could have been approved only by La Crosse County, and that taking it to the municipalities was a way of saying to them, you know, we understand that having quality ambulance service is important to you. This is the contract that we have worked out in a couple of years with representation, and that it is a commitment to giving that quality ambulance service. And I ask your approval of the resolution.
Any further discussion? We'll vote on the computer. All in favor, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no. Monica, have you voted? The resolution passes on a vote of 28 yes to 2 noes with 2 abstentions. Next item.
Final item is 7-18 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, resolution regarding approval of Helix, Inc. for employee health risk assessments. Whereas health risk appraisals of employees will allow early detection of medical issues to allow focus and attention on prevention and early cure, and whereas health risk appraisals are recognized in the nation as an effective cost containment program for health insurance programs, and HRAs provide education and assistance to improve employee wellness, now therefore be it resolved that Helix, Inc. of Menominee Falls, Wisconsin is approved as an HRA provider, and the Health Department and the Personnel Department are authorized and directed to implement a health risk assessment program for county employees through Helix, Inc. Be it further resolved that the Personnel Director is authorized to sign the 2010 fee schedule attached hereto, acknowledging Helix, Inc. fees for the calendar year. Fiscal note is the estimated first-year cost is $20,000, for which adequate funds have been budgeted in the occupational health budget. Actual cost will depend on how many employees take advantage of the program. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson. Is there a second? Second by Jill Billings. Discussion or questions? Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. Does that mean that the county board people that are under county insurance will be covered by this?
Bob Taunt's going to come in. Actually, he's shaking his head yes in answer to that question. So yes is the answer. All right. Any other questions or discussion?
So anyone on the county board then can come in and ask for an assessment. Is that correct?
Bob, why don't you come up to the podium?
We will have a program on a specific date or dates, and at that time we'll put a notice out, and you would be able to come in and make an appointment to have an assessment.
I think, didn't you tell the executive committee, Bob, that what we're starting with though is people that have insurance?
That's correct.
So county board members that have county insurance, be looking at you first as opposed to everybody. Other questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously. Thanks, Bob. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Public Works and Infrastructure, Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To end the day or end the night, this is a proper resolution, I would think. Both committees have split on it. The executive committee voted for or against the resolution, 3-5. The public works committee, infrastructure committee voted 6-0-1 for the resolution. Resolution placed advisory referendum question on November ballot. Whereas according to the legislature fiscal bureau, over the past decade, the state of Wisconsin has transferred approximately $1.2 billion from the state segregated transportation fund to the state's general fund to replace it with approximately $800 million in general obligation bonds, thereby reducing the amount available for transportation purposes by approximately $400 million. Whereas the Wisconsin practice of transferring money from the segregated transportation fund to the general fund has eroded the public confidence that the user fees they say through the state gasoline tax, vehicle registration fees will be used for their intended purposes. Whereas Wisconsin's practice of replacing the dollars transferred from the state segregated transportation fund with the GO bond puts our state in a precarious position of bonding to fund ongoing operations. Whereas the Pew Center on the state's recently released report that included Wisconsin as one of the 10 worst budget situations in the country, especially cited transferring money from transportation fund to the fund ongoing operation, example of one of the practices that has put Wisconsin in such an untenable position. Whereas the debt service of these bonds will have to be paid for out of the state general fund, which hinders the ability to fund other programs like shared revenue, youth aids, community aids, and courts in the future. Whereas using the state's general obligation bonds in this way has hurt the state's bond rating. A reported issue by CNN in 2009 listed Wisconsin having the second worst gold bond rating in the country, whereas gas tax and vehicle registration fees comprise 90% of the state's segregated transportation account, Revenues from these two sources have been declining and are inadequate to meet the existing transportation needs in the state. Whereas Wisconsin's transportation infrastructure is fundamentally component in its ability to attract and retain business and produce jobs. Whereas the citizens of La Crosse County deserve the right to have their voice heard on an important issue. Whereas providing constitutional protection, much like the neighbors in Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, and Ohio already have, is the only way to ensure this practice will not continue. Now, therefore, be resolved that La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the following question be put to the voters in La Crosse County in an advisory referendum during the November 2010 election. Should the Wisconsin Constitution be amended to prohibit any further transfers or lapses from segregated transportation funds? End quote. Be it further resolved, the county clerk is directed to cause a copy of the notice of referendum to be published in the county's official newspaper as required by law. Be it further resolved, the county clerk is directed to provide a copy of the resolution and copy of the results of the advisory referendum to the Wisconsin Counties Association. Fiscal note, the county clerk estimates that the cost of including the above referendum on a November ballot would be $3,000 to cover the cost of the larger ballot, the publication of the notice, the staff time, and the county clerk's service. I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, second by Mr. Schrader. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I still have the floor.
Absolutely.
I would ask that Dennis Osgood, our head of highway, be able to speak. You could answer any questions from the board, and give a little background first for how that we came to this situation.
Danny, can you give us some background?
Well, I guess as everybody knows, the last few budget cycles, the transportation fund has been raided to help fill in gaps in the general fund in the state budget. The transportation fund, many years ago, was a segregated fund, and when the state got into tough budget times, they started taking money from there. Wisconsin County Highway Association has asked that each commissioner throughout the state of Wisconsin bring it to the respective committees and then the county board of his or her respective county to ask that this advisory referendum be placed on the ballot. They feel that this is a chance to take it to the people that are paying these gas taxes and registration fees and get their voice on how they feel about this. So that's why I bring this to the county board tonight.
Questions right. Of Mr. Osgood? Mr. Mina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, basically, I agree with you 100%, but is the $3,000 in costs that we're going to have to pay worth the money to get the point across, or, you know, it's $3,000 that we're not going to have much of, and, you know, are we going to get that big of an impact? That's a big question.
I guess I can't answer that. I don't know how people are going to vote, but it's going to give the people a chance to voice their opinion. So it's been known, I've heard it talked around a lot from people, that I don't mind paying the gas tax or I don't mind paying my vehicle registration if it go to fund the highways. It's not just the highways, it's air, it's rail transit, it's pedestrians, it's bicycles, it's all for all transportation modes. So it's not strictly just for highways, but that's why our association and the other coalition other groups that are in your packet that was sent out, they thought it'd be a good chance to take it to the people, and the county has the ability to put the advisory referendum on the ballot. So.
Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Denny, this plan that I have right here, you're well familiar with it. How much did the county pay for that plan?
First, to describe what the plan is, Mr. Osgood. Some people may not know what he's holding up.
La Crosse County Roadway Plan. It was approved by the county board. I believe the cost was, with LAPC money, $90,000.
I believe so, yes.
This was our blueprint. This is something that our administrator keeps on harping on. Planning the road system in La Crosse County is 285 miles of county road. On that road, it's in pretty good shape now, but it's deteriorating. This is a plan. Everything in this plan is great, except for one thing, the funding. which is always the case. We don't know what impact there will be on the people of, at least in La Crosse County, to get the vote on it. Other counties that get the vote on it will get a publicity from it, and that's what you have to do with the state legislature. We can pass a resolution, I guess, and it really means nothing to the legislature. I think at this time is a great time because it's election year, and let's face every legislator. Do you support this referendum or don't you? Bigger thing, will you introduce something in the legislature to get this done? Because it takes two legislative sessions to pass it and a referendum, and guess who gets to vote on the referendum? The people. It's the people spending the money, and it's the people that we, I just hate to see plans and throw it on the shelf, which somebody made a statement when we did this, and they were correct. That's where it is right now, is on the shelf. Because we do our funding, all we want is the regular funding to come from the state that the people pay. Thank you.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Denny, in going down the coalition partners, even though it talks about multimodal, I do not see any organization other than highway, blacktop, pavement, trucking. I don't see Bicyclists of America. I don't see short rail, commuter rail, high-speed rail. And when I was sitting at a transportation committee, very little money or dedicated service to anything but what are we going to do about the roads?
Okay, I can't speak why all these other groups you mentioned aren't on this list, but there are some big players here that employ a lot of people in the state of Wisconsin. And it's also the highway system that brings goods to your businesses to keep them running. And if you have a good transportation system, it also attracts business and helps keeps the business in the state that, that you do have. So I guess who all got on this list and who didn't, I don't have an answer to that.
I guess I don't have any more comments or questions for Denny, but I do have some other comments about it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. In one of the whereases, it talks about one of the 10 worst budget situations. And I do agree that the state is in a very bad budget situation, and I would like to see that discussed as a whole. I'm not interested in having any funding or anything that might be in a position where they have locked in funding sources taken off the table. You know, perhaps that would even be an issue, that we do have segregated funds. I noticed that, so I do think we should talk about the budget, but I think we should talk about the budget as a whole, and hopefully the state legislators will do that. And in terms of citizens deserving the right to have their voices heard on this important issue, you're right, this is a good time to ask our candidates for office what they would do, and then whoever you elect then has to deal with the state budget as a whole, not individual citizens. I do think our input is important, and many of our legislators do have listening sessions. We here in La Crosse meet monthly with our legislators so they do have input and hear our voices at those times. But I'm not sure that I'm ready to vote on what I should change in the Wisconsin Constitution at tonight's meeting. We could have a whole retreat on the value and the pluses and minuses of the Wisconsin Constitution. So I think this is a very heavy heavy step to take about a very large and deep problem. It mentions in the frequently asked questions that this coalition is not interested in revisiting past battles and assessing blame for how we fell into this pattern. On the other hand, I think it is good to see what kind of philosophies were put into effect and where they have where we have landed because of those philosophies, because those philosophies are still out and about. So if we don't look back and see how we got here, there's really not much hope for going forward with any kind of assurance, I guess I would say. I did mention about the a multimodal transportation fund that is largely dedicated to the highway system. I do agree with Denny that that is part of the infrastructure, but you know, nationwide, our infrastructure has lapsed and has suffered because of the different philosophies of people who have been in charge over a number of years, not just starting today or in November. When I do look down at the list of coalition partners, and the one that I was able to access most easily was the Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce. On their website, they have said that some of their recent advisory or advocacy victories are 400,000 pieces of mail, over 200,000 targeted phone calls, radio and TV ads. Their success is defeating a bill that mandated mental health and drug abuse treatment coverage on the same basis as other health insurance coverage. Another one, they defeated a proposal for a constitutional amendment to the uniformity clause that would have shifted the property tax to tax burden to commercial and industrial taxpayers. You know, I'm afraid that they're using our counties as, you know, a piece of their lobbying efforts at this very critical time, thinking, yeah, all of us agree that the roads are in bad shape. But I would say if we would investigate a lot of these coalition partners, they have their own game plan, they have their own advocacy groups, and they have their own pot of money in which to influence the legislatures, and I would guarantee that you will find members of these coalitions down at Madison a lot. So I would like to keep the county board a little less politically motivated in and not dipping into a constitutional amendment for the state of Wisconsin, given all the other areas that we have trouble with. I do know the county's association, or the County Highway Association, had a lobbying day, as did the Health and Human Services. But we're not asking Health and Human Service money to be, you know, segregated or whatever. So I just think we're being used, and I agree that the situation exists, but I do not want to become part of the lobby for a constitutional amendment.
Monica Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask a question to Dip for Denny. How would you rate the transportation spending in the state of Wisconsin over the last year or so? Do you think our projects are being taken care of?
Well, thanks to the stimulus from last year, a lot of projects were filled in that were lagging behind. But each program that they come out with, it used to be a two-year program, and then they stretched it out to a three-year. And as the local governments apply for these projects, it's just like they dropped the anchor and they're dragging it out longer because they don't have the money to fund them. The need is out there and they're asking you to submit your projects, but yet the process is slowing down, knowing fully well that they can't fund them if they would be awarded projects. So,
yep. I too thought that as I travel across the state, there's a lot of construction going on and there's a lot of signs, you know, saying this is funded by ERA money. And to me, it seemed that it was kind of fortunate that we were able to shift some funds around, that there were transportation funds that we were able to use for some other things since a lot of money was coming in through the ERA monies. And so I kind of like that flexibility, and I'd hate to codify, you know, what we can do with transportation funds and make a constitutional amendment, because it seems to me sometimes flexibility is good. Thank you.
Just Sharon Hampson's the last one I have on the list. Nope, now I have a bunch more people all of a sudden. All right, Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. Believe it or not, I'll be brief. Two of the coalition partners that you do not see listed on here are the Wisconsin Counties Association and the Executives and Administrators Association. They're not taking a stand on it. And half of these people that are on here have a direct fiscal interest in road building, so they're on it for their own self-promotion. I think what we're looking at is a symptom of dysfunction at the state level in budgeting, and money's transferred all the time. The tobacco money disappeared completely.
we can't fix the state process from here, and there's no political will in Madison to do that. We had an advisory referendum a couple of years ago on whether the state should take over human services and courts. Passed by 80%, nothing happened. And like Margaret said, there are no designated funds for other things like human services. What do we do when we need more money for child protective services? Should we put a tax on abusive parents? I mean, it's easy to see gasoline tax go to highway. Some of these other things that the state and counties pay for, the link isn't as clear. And I think it's easy to say you should protect highway funds, but there's a whole lot of other funds that need protecting too.
Arlene Bender.
Thank you. This referendum was sent out to the highway commissioners for in 72 counties to bring it to their highway committee and then to take it to their county board. And I have talked with several of them so far, and they said their committee passed it and their board passed it. They had no problem with it. This referendum is being put out to the people who will vote on this. We represent our constituents on the board, and I ask for your support on this resolution. Thank you.
What else did I see for hands? Dan Ferries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm also in favor of this motion. I think exactly for that purpose is to leave the money there that was initially funded for. I wish the tobacco money would have been there. I wish the Social Security money would still be there. But that's what happens when you start dipping into it. I'm in a district that is confined within a city, so my normal travel is not on highway roads or rural roads. But as I was running my campaign, that is one of the biggest things I heard is the deteriorating of the rural roads. That was one of the biggest things. If this does not go well, and who's to say how the referendum is going, and who should be afraid of what the voters would say? You know, I'm surprised that the executive committee turned this down and didn't take it to the people. But anybody that represents any place in a rural area or travels a rural area, I can't see them voting against this. You know, we're in this budget crisis thing because of jobs. In my district is Milestone, Mathey, one of the largest employers. It's all about jobs. Of course these people are going to, you call it self-interest. It's all about jobs, and jobs are what's going to get us out of this situation. And I would encourage people to vote for this with Mr. Spiker. For jobs, for rural things, and to, like I say, we know where the tobacco money went, we know where the Social Security money went. I support this. Thank you.
Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. Boy, there's some real strong feelings here, and a lot of them are personal feelings. Both pro and con. And I feel that by putting this issue on the advisory referendum, it'll be very clear what our constituents actually would like to see us do, or would like to see the state do, I should say. And also the state's elected officials will be given the feedback needed for their direction. This is also good timing because there should be a very large voter turnout in the November primary election. And I beg to differ with Sharon Hampson. WCA and the WCHA both sponsor this. Yes, they do. Liz Stevens is the newest member of the WCA lobbying staff in Madison, and she is going to lobby heavily for this. Of all the WCA meetings I have attended, the focus has been on the infrastructure, maintenance, and construction. And this has been the focus of both elected and appointed officials. And what do they find? There's not enough funds. This comes at a time when the WCA and WCHA have some of the best lobbyists that they've had for a long time. Dan Federley, WCHA, and Liz Stevens for the WCA. And she is probably one of the people down there that know about the working, the best knows about the workings of the legislature. Wisconsin's transportation infrastructure platform is a platform for business operations, according some of you don't believe that, but it's all, there's a question as to the state's ability to adequately fund shared revenue, youth aids, community aids, and circuit court. By placing this advisory referendum on a November ballot, it should be a big step for them to get their financial house in order, and I'm talking about the state here. The bottom line is we cannot afford any more shell games between the segregated transportation funds and the general fund in this state. Thank you.
Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of points and a couple of questions for Denny. A point was made that if we should spend the $3,000 for this, well, of course we should. $3,000, how many potholes is that going to fix? Not many. And Supervisor Wood mentioned the Health and Human Services. The Health and Human Services are one of the main culprits for raiding the highway fund. So, of course, they don't want to see the raiding door closed. Dennis, how much money is there left in the state budget with our crumbling infrastructure for potholes or crumbling roads, cracks, I mean, all the problems that you face every day? Have we got anywhere near the money to...
In the state budget?
In the budget.
I don't have a handle on the exact figure, but no, they're lagging behind. It's just like everybody else's budget. The transportation money doesn't go as far either due to the increased materials and labor and things like that. But so the exact figure I can't give you, but no, there's not enough money there.
I know you have an astronomical job to do in La Crosse County, and you don't have near the money for La Crosse County, do you?
No.
Okay, well, my opinion, anybody that would oppose this, I don't think they should have a voice when they're driving down the road and wrecking a car on potholes and cracks and everything else that's going to be happening. We don't have the money to fix this stuff. Keep raiding the thing, and you can have to live with the problem then. I think this door ought to be closed. And I call the question.
Jerry Sobranek moves to close debate. John Menninger seconds it. All in favor of closing debate, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
I
thought you said you had to go through the list once.
I'm hearing a lot of repetition here.
I was even on once.
No, repetition of the arguments, not repetition of the people. I think it was unclear as to whether that passed or not, so we're going to need to vote to close debate on the computer. This requires a two-thirds vote to close debate. Jay Johnson, have you voted? The motion to close debate has failed on a vote of 19 to 12. That was 61.29%, not two-thirds. So, Ralph Geary, you're up next.
Oh.
It better be good, and then I'll vote for closing debate. Hey, this resolution wasn't requested by any county supervisor. It was requested by the highway commissioner. And he requested it because it's hurting the transportation system, and due to his duties, he should bring that to our attention and a method to solve it. But I did look up a few things about this. The transportation fund started as a segregated fund. What's a segregated fund? It basically is the same thing as one of our enterprise funds. When it was originated, they said it should be only used to fund transportation purposes, and Denny told you what those were: highways, air, rail, transit, harbors, bicycle and pedestrian improvements. Obviously, highways are the bulk of the money. What's good about this tax? It's one of the few taxes people complain about. It's a user-based tax that people understand, and they support it. When you buy gas, you're in your vehicle, you pay for your license fees. It's one of the few taxes people don't complain about. And transferring money from a segregated fund to a purpose it wasn't intended for is nothing more than an accounting gimmick. It doesn't solve any problems. All it does is actually create another problem in the transportation area, which should never have a problem. Their funding was solely based on those revenue sources and in conjunction with some federal and local money on certain transportation projects. So the thing that really gets me about this, when you look into it, the state can't bond for money for operating expenses. So somehow they can manage to borrow money from another fund that needs money for operating expenses, which is exempt from that, and then bond to replace the money that they took from this fund. But they don't replace it dollar for dollar. They make the transportation funds pay all the interest off on a bond they didn't need in the first place and short them by $400 million. It's going to lead to a major problem down the line. This is one of the few issues Wisconsin isn't ahead of the curve on. If you looked at it, most states in the Midwest and around the country are starting to go to this. When you've got Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio, and many other states going to this, it's not hard to implement it. It actually gets the legislature more focused on their real problems and how to solve them. So, and here's the one. How about special interests? Past legislatures probably were affected by special interests, not only in transportation, but in every other area you can think of. How about the present legislature? Obviously they are. How about the future ones? They're going to be that way too. The fairest way to solve this one problem is to go to referendum. Special interests have the least amount of power when all the people get to vote. They have a lot of power when they can concentrate on a few people in the legislature or whatever. So you want to minimize the impact of special interests, this would be something you'd want to vote on, because you've got as much power as the next person.
We have four people still on the list. Let me ask this. Is anybody here still open-minded on this issue? Willing to be persuaded? Okay, that's fine. Jill Billings.
All right, I'll try to make this quick. I am always worried when the argument comes up and we're pitting vulnerable populations that we serve through Health and Human Services versus entities like road building. Because you know what happens? The roads win. If you look at the people who are the coalition partners, these are people with bucks. These are people that have special interests. And they have money, and they're willing to fight for those people, for their special interests. But who fights for kids who are suffering from abuse and neglect? So I hope that we can not pit those populations against each other. I'm not going to vote for this because I don't think it's right to hamstring legislators in the state on this. I don't like it when the state comes and weighs in on us and our budget and tells us what we can do, because I think we're best suited to do that. And I don't want to, especially in these extraordinary times with tight budgets and losing funding for things, I don't want to hamstring people in Madison. I think that we should give them the freedom to work creatively with the budget. And if they have to take some money from this pot or that pot in order to make things work this year, this would be the year, and probably next year too, that's the time to let them do that.
Red Conkle.
I'm going to keep this pretty brief, but I just wanted to say that regardless of how I feel about the state budget, how I feel about our county budget coming up, I think that the people have an opinion about the roads that they drive on, and this really allows them to voice their opinion. And while I'm familiar with both the state and county budget, and I have a definite opinion on what I would like to see happen, I think that's important that we gather other people's input on such a pressing issue coming up, and I think that the November 2010 election is a good time to do that. So I will be supporting this document.
Bill Brockmiller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's interesting that two people right in a row go, because I agree with Supervisor Conkle. I voted to close debates, but since we didn't, I'm going to say this. I've heard one of my colleagues that I respect very much debate about how, if this passes, they're going to vote on it, which I don't find very relevant. Do we send this to people or not? I can predict how most people in this room are going to vote on it if it passes. That doesn't seem relevant to me. If this was those things of support that we do that I lost the name for a moment in my head, it would be relevant. But I don't see how whether we bring it to the people is relevant how individual supervisors will vote on it when they're in the voting booth.
Jay Johnson.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. It is. It's so unfortunate this has become so politicized, I think. It's as if people have forgotten that most citizens would rather have a job than a handout. Human services is extremely important, but I can't think of anything other than transportation that does more to ensure economic vitality and public safety and quality of life in Wisconsin. That's the direction I want the state to be moving in, is where more people are working. We're not, you know, almost in last place in these terms of economic indicators. And I think transportation expenditures are critical to those goals. I know it's not going to fix the whole shell game in Madison, but it's a great place to start. One of the things we talked about at the subcommittee level was that this is an opportunity for education. And I think most people do realize this is a user fee tax. They know that if they go to the pump and pay gas tax, they pay their registration, it's supposed to go to maintain the transportation system. But how many people know that those funds are being raided to the extent that they are? I didn't know that until I was on the county board, and I'm betting that there are a lot of other citizens where that's also true. We talked about if we put this to a referendum, we can educate people on what's happening in the state with the budget in an area that they really care about. I hope you'll support it. Thank you.
All in favor, vote yes on the computer. Opposed, vote no on the computer. We're voting on the resolution. This requires a two-thirds vote of the full board. This resolution does not pass. It was 22-9, and it requires two-thirds of the full board, and two-thirds of the full, or that vote was 62.86% of the board, so it got two-thirds of present, but did not get two-thirds of full board, which is what our ordinance would require for a non-budgeted item, and this was not, the $3,000 was not budgeted. That's what triggers the two-thirds requirement. Mr. Schrader.
Have we not, at other times, taken the two-thirds or three-quarters or whatever it is of the people that are present versus the full board?
On some things, like closing debate and so forth, that's how it works. But in this case, we have an ordinance. And that ordinance says, if it's not a budgeted item, it takes two-thirds of the full board. I've never liked rule by the majority, but those of you who like rule by the majority, you, or by the minority, I mean, you just got it. That's how it works. All right. Is that it for you, Mr. Spiker? Thank you. Future agenda items. Anybody have any? Or announcements? That gets us to Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One thing I forgot to mention about the picnic, that for people who are vegetarians, we have vegetarian lasagna. So if you don't care for the beef, we have lasagna. And people say that money is the key to happiness. But I always figured if you got enough money, you can have a key made. Motion adjourned.
Move to adjourn by Jerry Sobranek, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.